This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAPrepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAPrepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Yeah. All set? Hour number two of USA Prepares. Kyle's with me, and we're talking about tips that you can use. So, back to the ultrasonic cleaner. So, this thing is like a small sink. It's a desktop device. The one I have is made by a company called Crest, C-R-E-S-T. And it has a timer. A rotary timer. I bought the mechanical one, not the, you know, the one that has a digital display because I didn't want the computer to go bad on it. So it's kind of an older style. I paid about $200 for it many years ago. Right now they're $800. It's a professional model, and I thought, you know, I really need this for the automotive shop, and I've used it for a lot of things over the years. So here's what it does. You can heat the water. And, up to 175 degrees, 180 degrees or so. And I heat the water, add dishwashing detergent, and so it's really slippery, and it reduces the surface tension of whatever I want to clean. And then I can turn this timer to whatever I want, maybe, you know, a minute or 2 minutes or so. So yesterday, I heated the water, and I decided to dip the handles of the screwdrivers in this. And within 2 seconds, it blasted off this oxidation. Absolutely. Now, it doesn't remove the dings and dents from years of use, but it removes all of this ugly discoloration on the screwdriver handles. And then, you know, some of these screwdrivers had their Phillips, and they had some goo on the tips, and I turned them over and put the tips in it and blasted that off. So literally, it took 2 seconds for most of them, and the really dirty ones, 5 seconds each. So that is a tool that I use in the shop. I'm talking about the ultrasonic cleaner. Now, what else can you use that for? Well, if you have a carburetor and it does not have one of those plastic floats, if it has a brass float, and if you take the needle and seat out, or at least the needle out, the Viton needle, you take that out of the carburetor float assembly, you can put the whole carburetor in, and it will blast that thing clean within maybe 2 minutes. And it will take a dirty, grungy, stained carburetor, and it will turn it into one that looks brand new in 2 minutes, literally. But I literally take them apart because I don't want the rubber gaskets to be destroyed and blown to bits by the ultrasonic cleaner. But you can use an ultrasonic cleaner for all kinds of things. And yesterday I found out you can use that to restore the handles of these screwdrivers, all the ones that were discolored by massive amounts of oxidation. I mean, they look so bad you wouldn't even want to touch one, literally. Kyle, any comments?
Yeah, I was questioning something, Vince. If somebody doesn't have an ultrasonic cleaner or access to one, I was wondering if, being as you're probably removing part of it, if you couldn't put some brake cleaner or carb cleaner or something like that on a rag and rub them down and then hit it with that, you know, that 303 lubricant type spray. I was wondering if something like that would work or not.
I don't know. I've tried all kinds of chemicals on these handles, and nothing seemed to work. You know, my go-to is automatic transmission fluid, used automatic transmission fluid. And let me just share with the class what I do. So we drain a transmission, and you don't have to do this. I mean, you can use brand new transmission fluid and buy a quart of it and get a, you know, do a lot of things that we're talking about with a quart of clean oil. I just don't like throwing things away, so I save the used oil. But what you can do is, if you have motor oil that, you know, take out of your lawnmower and it's not filthy black like you would have from a diesel engine, but if it's, you know, it's tan or light brown, you can wait till it cools, and then you can let it settle in the collection pan for a couple days. Let the heavy material settle to the bottom, and then carefully decant the oil into a the original container that the new oil came in. So if you're putting 5W-30 in your engine, save that jug. And then what you do is take a clean funnel, and you can use a paper towel, like one of those paper towel, roll paper towel towels, and you can fold it in half. And then you can fold it in half again, and then you have a square. And then you can open up this, that square and put that in the funnel. So now you have a the funnel is lined with this paper towel. Or you can use a coffee filter and do the same thing. You take a coffee filter that's round, and you fold it in half. And then you fold it in half again. So now you folded it into a quarter. And then you open it up in the funnel, and you can slowly pour the used engine oil that's been cooled through that filter, meaning the coffee filter or the paper towel, and it will get most of the larger particles out. Then I use that for lubricating chains, like on farm equipment, lubricating moving parts that get weather on them and that are out in the rain, that kind of thing. And I've tried automatic transmission fluid on these screwdriver handles, etc., and it didn't work. I tried engine oil, it didn't work. And I've tried mechanically removing it by, brushing it, and that takes a lot of work. But there's a guy on the internet said he can clean these screwdriver handles in a minute. Well, he can. He takes a wire brush and he brushes them off, and I guess that works, but nowhere near as well as the ultrasonic cleaner. So if you can, what I'm saying, I guess, is if you find an ultrasonic cleaner at a price that you think is reasonable, you might find that it really works well. But I would not lend that to anybody, because if you don't fill that with the right amount of water, and if you don't fill enough, it will destroy the transducers, and you will destroy that ultrasonic cleaner. So they're expensive, but it's a really good tool for precision cleaning. And we use it not often, but when we do use it, we use it because we need it. So that's my thought on ultrasonic cleaners. Kyle, I buy things from Sam's Club, and I have this love-hate relationship with Sam's Club. They sell things in the quantity that I'd like to buy them in, but they don't necessarily pack them properly. And so they'll take a small item, put it in a big box. It'll rattle around there without packing, and it'll get destroyed on the way over here. So that's the hate part. The love part is, I can buy it online. And so what I do is, if I'm buying paper towels, and by the way, Member's Mark paper towels, I think they're like 16 or 18 in a package for around $17. They are the world's best, in my opinion. Best value, best paper towels. And we use them here on the farm for lots of purposes. Anyway, when they ship them in a great big box. And now, what do you do with the box? Well, I cut them down so I can lie them flat. But I don't throw them away. I put them under cars. So if we've got cars in the barn and they drip a little bit of oil, I don't want that oil on the concrete or on the floor. I don't want it in our garage. If we're working on a vehicle up on the lift, I put I open up those boxes and put them under the vehicle so the oil drips and spills and et cetera land on the cardboard. And I use it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then it goes in the fire, to heat the house. So I don't throw anything out unless we absolutely need to. Another thing that I use these cardboard boxes for, when they're nice and clean and after I've left them out in the sun so that the roach eggs don't hatch inside my toolboxes, what I'll do is I will cut them to fit the bottom of a toolbox. And I don't believe there's anything that's a better toolbox drawer liner than a good quality virgin material cardboard box. I'm talking about a corrugated cardboard box. Because if your tools have a little bit of oil in it, on them, the cardboard soaks it up. It's great, and it protects the bottom drawer and the bottom of the drawers, so that the drawers don't get all scuffed up with the tools. Kyle, any comments?
Yeah, that's handy, Vince. I never have used it for that. We use cardboard boxes. We hardly ever throw them away either. I use them for holding a lot of my like spray cans, or if I've got something that's in the shop that I want to put in there, I will cut them down a little bit so they're smaller, like to hold. I have my electric tools, and I have Ridgid in one box, and I might have DeWalt in another, but I use those because sometimes my shells are 2 foot deep. And so sometimes I need to be able to reach a tool in the back. And if I don't really want to stretch, I can just pull them out and slide it out, grab the tool I need and push it back. It's almost like a drawer. It's quite handy.
And the thing about Sam's Club is they've taught me how to buy things. So, for example, let's say I want to buy three things. And let's say I want to buy a container, a metal can of coffee. And let's say I wanted to buy something that, let's just say Gatorade, for example, a big canister of Gatorade that has a, it's in a cardboard box with a metal, you know, cardboard container with a metal bottom. Well, if you buy three things and you have them all in the same shipment, in the same order, they'll put them all in together and they'll rattle around, they'll bang up each other. So I try not to do that. Sam's Club has taught me just put one thing in each order. That way, if I were to buy the equivalent of something like Gatorade, it's not going to get banged up by something heavier and get smashed on the way over here. Now, is that extravagant in terms of shipping and packing material? Absolutely. Is it wasteful? Absolutely. Is it necessary? Only because Sam's Club doesn't care about my purchase. If they packed things better, I wouldn't do that. I would say, well, let me conserve, you know, the world's resources. But because Sam's Club doesn't train its employees or monitor them in how to pack, I have to do that. Otherwise, my goods that I've just paid for are going to get destroyed by these morons that they hire. So I don't waste those boxes. I reuse them. So in the garage, under the vehicles, I've got them cut open. They're flat. And I also have them. We have toolboxes on all of our trucks. And those are those cross-bed toolboxes. So right behind the rear window, there's one of these, what they call diamond plate aluminum toolboxes. And it's not diamond. It's just shaped like a diamond. It's like a raised surface. It's kind of shaped like an elongated diamond, if you will. And kind of a tread pattern on the aluminum. And so I even keep a folded up tool cardboard box in the toolbox, a large one. And the reason is, let's say I'm going to bring something back to the farm and I'm out there picking it up, wherever it is. Let's say I'm buying it and I don't want it to slide against, you know, roll around in the back bed of the truck. What I'll do is I have these ratchet straps, and you can buy them at Harbor Freight. They're one thing that they actually make that's okay. Ratchet straps are orange, and I have these hooks that come with the Chevy trucks and the Dodge trucks. You can hook the ratchet strap into each, you know, left side and the right side of the front bed box, and you can pull whatever it is that's heavy against the toolbox, this toolbox in your truck. But I don't want the toolbox to get smashed or damaged or scratched, and I don't want whatever it is I'm bringing home to get scratched. So I'll take one of these cardboard boxes that I keep in the toolbox, and I'll use that as a buffer. I'll fold it up, you know, two or three times to make it thick. I'll use that as a buffer and then pull, you know, whatever it is. Let's say I'm bringing home a 55-gallon drum or two or three or four or five in the truck. I'll strap them and pull them against the toolbox, but there's cardboard in between the 55-gallon drums and the toolbox to protect the finish of the 55-gallon drums and the toolbox. Kyle, any comments?
Yeah, that's a great idea, Vince. You know, the other thing that I say, folks, that you might want to consider is if I'm building something or cutting something, especially like in my shop, because my shop does everything. I mean, I build, I'll wait till after the break, and that'll be the teaser.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So we'll be talking about what Kyle does in the shop when we come back. We can also talk about sneakers on eBay and what to look out for. We'll be right back.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Kyle's with us. Kyle, you were going to tell us, you started before the break, and please continue.
Okay, I might build shelves or I might build, start putting things together that I want to start out in the shop and then move them into the house to assemble everything together and build it. So there's sawdust all over my concrete floor. And I sweep that sawdust up and I never throw that away. I have a container of it. In my shop that's, I don't know, probably close to a 5-gallon pail that I keep in there all the time. And it just so happened I was moving some things around and rearranging some things inside the shop. And unfortunately, I didn't know because some of the oil that I had stored in the corner of my shop there, one of the containers had developed a hole and had leaked out onto the concrete back in the corner where I had it stored. So the floor was just covered in oil. But you take a handful or two of that sawdust, that real fine sawdust cut with a regular, I'm talking skill saw type sawdust, and throw it out there on it and just kind of step on it a little bit and just let it sit. And it will soak that oil up real good. And then it's real easy to sweep it up and then throw that in your fireplace to start a fire with. And it works really well.
You know, there's a guy that came to our expo, and he did something kind of like that. And what he did was he took some sawdust and he mixed it with a petroleum product and he called it a fire starter and he put it in packages and he sold it like crazy. And I guess people didn't know how they could start a fire with newspaper and a match or sawdust with a little bit of oil on it. You're absolutely right. And we don't throw sawdust out either. And what I do is I keep it, I put it in the shop in a bucket, in one of those plastic buckets. And we always have oil on the floor because we're changing oil every day, literally, working on transmissions, and there's drips all over the floor because of it. And what we do is most of the time we have a little pile swept into one little spot, and then we use a broom with plastic fibers, and we push the sawdust over the oil spills, and then we pick it up, and then use a dustpan, pick up the sawdust and put it into a bucket and reuse it until it can't be used anymore, until it's soaked with oil to the point where it can't be used. And once it gets a little bit of oil on it, it's better at picking up oil than it was before it had a little bit of oil on it. I'm talking about a little bit. And another thing you can do, what I do is I keep the best sawdust and I put it in one of those mayonnaise jars, those plastic mayonnaise jars with the blue lids. And I save that for if I need to make fill a hole in wood. For example, I was attaching across the beams a 2x6 to mount a ceiling fan. And this is way up in the air here. And the only 2x6 I could find to mount this fan on was one that had lots of saw cuts in it when we were building our house. So I've been saving that for like 15 years. And so I wanted to fill in these cross cuts that were all over this board and also strengthened the board. And so I just took some of that sawdust and made a paste out of it with Elmer's Professional Wood Glue, filled in the hole, sanded it, and you can't even tell that there was, cuts in the board. So you can do things like that, fill in holes in the floor with sawdust mixed with Elmer's Professional Wood Glue. I think you can use other glues, of course, but I believe for gluing wood, that the world's best glue is that yellowish tan colored Elmer's Professional Wood Glue or Carpenter's Glue. Another thing you can do to pick up oil spills in the garage is cat litter. And you don't need to buy the fancy sophisticated kind that maybe they use in departments in New York City, but you can use just the regular old bentonite clay gray colored cat litter. And that's the same stuff that the places like AutoZone sell in 50-pound and 33-pound bags, and it's called oil dry. So oil dry equals cat litter. Cat litter equals oil dry. And so you can use either one. So if you want to save some money on cat litter, you buy the oil dry when it's on sale at AutoZone, and you use that for your cat. And then if you have little holes in your, little depressions in your driveway, like we have a stone driveway, and when we have these little rivulets, Mrs. Finelli will take the cat litter that the cats have used. She'll take out the poop and throw that into the fire. And then the cat litter that smells like urine, she pours onto the driveway. The sun disinfects it. The smell goes away in a couple days, and it fills in the holes. So you don't have to just send everything to the landfill. Kyle, back to you.
Yeah, another way to use sawdust, I do too. I have some good sawdust that I have on my bench. And when I am making bullets, a lot of times I will melt the lead, and there's always some kind of impurities on top of the lead when you're casting bullets. And so one of the things I like to do is I'll take up I would say a large pinch of this sawdust and drop it right on top of the lid, and it mixes with the impurities and kind of makes a crust. And it's much easier to take a spoon or some kind of a little ladle and scrape off the top of the lid and gather up all of those impurities with that sawdust mixed in there with it.
Great, great idea. I love it. So what you're talking about is, this film that would be on top of the lead. There's some film anyway with the impurities, but this adds to it, makes it easier to spoon it off. Yeah. Kyle, we decided that we were going to eat some of our own beef, and we raise Black Angus cows here, class. And I think that I'd like to say, this is not bragging, but I believe we, at our farm, we produce some of the finest beef in the world. Because we don't inject and use hormones and, you know, growth hormones and all the injections that other people do, we don't do that. We feed our cows grass, and we are really careful what we put on the grass. So we work really hard to make sure our fields are as nutritious and fertile as possible, and we don't use commercial fertilizers. And just as a side comment, there was a guy who I really like. He's a farmer, and he just decided to retire. He sold his farm, and he grew the best grass. I'm talking about hay grass I've ever seen. And he'd been working on it for probably 30, 40 years, and his fields were magnificent. Well, he sold the property to, this is in Missouri, sold the property to some guys in Texas, and they wanted the grass. So they bought his farm because his grass was absolutely
Amazon customer.
I didn't hear that.
Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The Biden administration has left Americans behind in Afghanistan, measuring in the hundreds. The U.S. Embassy announced on its website that it has shut down operations on Tuesday. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken announced a new chapter of America's engagement with Afghanistan. They say they will continue to assist U.S. citizens and families still in Afghanistan from outside the country. Leaving our brothers and sisters behind in a foreign country amplifies how poorly President Biden has handled the deadly exit in Afghanistan. One patriot has stepped up to do what the federal government has failed to do, get Americans and her allies out of country. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann has spent decades in the Army Special Forces all over the world. He tells Fox News his teams have been extracting people out of Afghanistan and is a glimmer of hope to those left behind by the commander-in-chief.
You know, it started with saving one commando. A bunch of Green Berets and SEALs and Marine Soft just said, you know what, we're not going to get angry, we're going to get to work. And so we just focused on honoring the promise that our government didn't. We put together, we used our cell phones, our relationships, and relationships inside the airport. And in 3 days, we managed to sneak in about 700 Afghans through holes in the fence, sewage canals, and now we're reposturing to do recovery operations now that the airport's been abandoned. We've already started moving families out. We got one family out of an Afghan-trained Green Beret. His wife went into labor at the Taliban checkpoint. We've already moved her out of the country, and we'll be reuniting him in the States soon. So OperationRecovery.org, and we're not going to stop until we get them all out.
I'm Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the control.
So during the end of the last segment, I went right through into the commercial break. And, class, that's because I'm not a trained broadcaster. I'm just a farmer and trying to figure out how to do this. So I don't really watch the clock like a trained professional would. I fly by the audio. So when I hear the introduction, the outroduction, and the rejoiners, and, you know, that's how I fly. And so I have a sense of, you know, what the time is. But I was deep in this thought about grass growing grass, and I wanted to share that with you, and I'll talk right through the commercial because the sounder or the sound, the audio of the introduction wasn't there for me to hear. So I mentioned that Nathan said I did that, and I said, oh, I'm really sorry. And he said, so I said, did I talk right through the commercial? I said, yeah. I said, well, who cares about commercials? <That's> like, well, it's like, oh, that's like I stepped on a landmine. Anyway, I was telling you about grass. And so this guy was growing the most fabulous grass. And what he would do is he'd grow the grass and he would fertilize it with animal manure. And then he would add lime and animal manure and no commercial fertilizer. So a guy in Texas bought the farm and he knew how to do it. He knew how to really grow grass. So what he did was he substituted the animal manure with fertilizer and put like a lot extra fertilizer. And the grass grew like crazy for the first year. The third year, the field looks terrible, absolutely awful, because he didn't know what he was doing. Okay, that being the case, I just wanted to mention that, you know, commercial fertilizer really works well. It's like tobacco. You know, you get somebody started on it, and they can't stop. So if the guy, you know, kept putting commercial fertilizer every single year, the grass would go great. But the grass needs more and more. And more, like a heroin addict, right? So that's what happens when you use commercial fertilizer. But if you use animal manure and you rotate your animals and you farm properly, you don't need the commercial fertilizer. And so we don't use commercial fertilizer. We use animal manure and we do it the old-fashioned way, the hard way. And the grass is better and the beef is better. So getting back to the reason I'm telling this whole story is, so we had about 800 pounds of beef that we needed to cool down right away. I mean, right away. And so we have a couple chest freezers, and we put the beef in the chest freezers. And that's a lot of beef to cool down right away. They're really not designed to take, these home chest freezers, you know, this 16-foot, 18-foot, 23-cubic-foot, you know, chest freezers aren't designed for rapid cool down. So what do you do? Well, I decided that, I felt the external skin of the chest freezers, and they were hot. And what they do is there's a compressor inside a box which displaces part of the available space inside the freezer. The compressor gets really hot, and the heat is removed from the inside of the box, so the inside skin of the box gets cold. The outside skin of the box gets hot, and there are no coils. The coils are embedded in the skin. So actually, the skin is the coils, right? So that's called the condenser. And it was really hot. And I took this non-contact thermometer. I aimed it at the compressor. I took the cover off to get to the compressor. And it was 160 degrees. I'm thinking, I can't touch that. It's so hot. The skin of the chest freezer is hot. This isn't working as efficiently as I wanted. So I took a box fan, and I blew it on the skin of the chest freezer, and I took another fan and I mounted it so it would blow on the compressor. I was able to drop the compressor down from 160 degrees to about 130-something degrees, roughly a 30-degree delta, and it was working way more efficiently, and it worked great. So if you ever have to cool down a chest freezer, that's how you do it. And what you do is before you position that box fan or whatever fan you're going to use, feel the outside skin of the chest freezer to figure out where it's the hottest, and that's where you want to blow the air, where it's the hottest. Kyle?
Boy, that makes a lot of sense, Vince. The other thing to think about if you're going to do that is when you see these little tiny 6-inch fans at the garage sales for 50 cents or a dollar, pick them up. You know, you never can tell when you're going to need them for something like that.
Okay. Off to whole house water filters. So, Classy, you've all seen these. It's a plastic housing, and they have these 10-inch by 2.5-inch sediment filters, and they typically are 5 microns in filtration size, or 10 or 20 microns. I like the smallest one, the 5 microns, because they filter, the smallest particles. And a couple of years ago, I was thinking, all these... It doesn't matter what brand they are. They all come from China. They're all made in China. And I thought, gosh, if we ever get in trouble with China, I want to make sure I have these filters. So I bought 50 of them in a case, bought a couple cases of them. They were like $30-something shipped. So 50 filters, $30-something, shipping included. And I bought a couple cases. I thought maybe we'll get, you know, sort of like approach a lifetime supply. Today, I found the same filters. You can buy them on the internet. They are, let's see, 5 micron. I have to select that. 50 pack, $70, 70. So they doubled in price. I just wanted to say that, you know, you don't have to buy one at a time. You don't have to go to Home Depot or Lowe's or Menards and buy one or two at a time. You can buy a 50 pack, just keep them cool and dry, and keep them in the box, and they'll last years. And they're individually wrapped. Kyle, any comments about that?
No, Vince, you know, I have not had to deal with house water filters for the last long time. And the place we're at now has the cleanest, unmineralized water that I have ever had in my life. Best tasting water that I have ever dealt with in my life. I don't need anything. In fact, my hot water heater and my coffee pot, stuff like that, have been running with almost absolutely no sediment buildup at all. And that's from a well. So I'm really grateful not to have to deal with that.
Well, and that's because you're drinking old water, like millions of years old, literally. So the water that you're drinking has been filtered by, the filter media is the ground. So it rains, the water gets into the ground and slowly drips into these underground caverns or aquifers, if you will, and that's where it stays until we destroy the aquifers and pump them out. And so what's happened is, you know, water companies like Nestle and these bottled water companies, you know, move to a remote area where they find these aquifers, and then they go and pump out the water and destroy the aquifer, and they go, shoot, there's no water left. We better move to another aquifer. That's the kind of stuff that happens. And so if you move to a rural area where Kyle is and the water has not been destroyed, you can have great water like that. And we have pretty good water here, except it's hard, meaning it's in a lime underground cavern, if you will, that is of limestone. So the lime gets dissolved by the water, and so we have hard water. And so we have a water softener. But before the water softener, the first thing that happens is the well pumps the water into a tank. It's a pressurized tank, and then the water is filtered by a sediment filter. Then it goes on to the water softener, and the water softener takes out the hardness. Then it goes on to, you know, the domestic use, the faucets, etc., and the hot water heater. So the point is, one, you want to make sure you replace those water filters, the sediment filters, on an interval that, you know, research what the interval would be. Maybe it's a month, maybe it's 2 months, because you don't want bacteria growing in there and colonizing, and then, you know, where you'd have a little bacteria in your water filter media, you might have a whole colony of it ready to kill you. So you want to make sure that you change the filter on a regular basis. And what I do is I sterilize the housing by adding maybe a teaspoon of unscented chlorine bleach. So I'll clean out the housing. I'll put the filter in there. I'll prearrange to have a clean container for water, kind of like maybe a half gallon juice jug, you know, that we keep clean for drinking water purposes, you know, in emergencies. And I'll use that kind of a container to pour some water into the water filter housing. Then I'll put the chlorine in there, and then I'll turn on the water and let the housing fill up with water, with the chlorine bleach in it, just the one teaspoon, and I'll let it set so the chlorine will disinfect and kill any bacteria, and then I'll send that water throughout the rest of the house and kill any bacteria that's in the pipes. And then I flush out the chlorine and make sure that, you know, all the pipes have been flushed out, because we don't want to be drinking that chlorine. I mean, you can, you know, the easy way to drink chlorine is just go to any city and have some tap water. But we don't want to do that, so we flush out the lines. Kyle, back to you.
Well, I was curious about something, Vince, and maybe you can elaborate on this better than I can. I've heard that you can use hydrogen peroxide for that instead of bleach. Would that work in your situation?
I believe it would work just fine. I believe it would work just fine.
Okay. And that's actually pretty good for you, isn't it? I mean, it's good. I've heard of people actually drinking it in their water for health reasons.
Well, be very careful, class, because you can poison yourself with a high concentration of hydrogen peroxide. So here's what I do, and I'm not recommending this. I'm just saying here's what I do. So like once a month, I'll add a few drops. I'm talking a few drops into the ProPure water filtration top canister. I'll add a few drops of hydrogen peroxide to, you know, kill any bacteria that might just, you know, set up shop in there. And that's what I do. And when I brush my teeth, I will wet the toothbrush. I'll put a few drops of hydrogen peroxide on the wet toothbrush. I will rinse out my mouth with water first. And then with water still in my mouth and those two drops or three drops of hydrogen peroxide on the toothbrush, I'll brush my teeth and then I'll rinse, because I don't want to destroy the tissue in my mouth. You know, so that's what I do. But don't do what I do because I do it. Do your own research, class. Make sure that you know what you're doing. I asked Dr. Shealy about that, and he said it was okay.
Oh, that's smart. Yep. I don't have much of a use of it, but the when you do, like you said, and that's with everything we say, folks. Do your own research. Figure it out for yourself. And make it your own. You know, that this is the key to doing anything that Vince and I have had to figure out ourselves. We figure it out. We might hear it from somebody else because both of us can recognize good ideas when we see it and hear it. And then I go try it. And if it doesn't, I'll tweak it. If it doesn't work quite like I want, I'll tweak it and then make it my own. And then it becomes my idea, and then it becomes part of my lifestyle. Vince?
Yeah, there was a special broadcast on another network, not on Genesis Communications Network, where they had a trash fest. And the idea was to trash Finelli. And they did. And as one caller called in and said, I know what's wrong with that guy. He's OCD. He's obsessive compulsive. He has a disorder. He has this problem, you know. And frankly, class, maybe I do. Maybe I do have, maybe I am obsessive because I want it perfect. I'm not willing to be satisfied with less than perfect if I can make it perfect. So that's what. And Kyle's.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Flash
today.
God, you're
take my
when you go to
the
season
for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
So, I just went to eBay during the broadcast, and I was looking up screwdrivers, Craftsman screwdrivers. And there's a guy selling a lot of 34, meaning there's 34 in this grouping that he's selling. And when you add shipping, 34 used Craftsman screwdrivers that are probably 30 years old, 40 years old, $109.49 for 34 used screwdrivers. So what you're finding out, class, is that, you know, you can buy the Chinese factory outlet screwdrivers, maybe Harbor Freight, and you can spend less. Or you can spend more and buy quality American screwdrivers that will last a lifetime or two or three if you take care of them. Now, that was one thing I wanted to mention. And one other quick thing, I mentioned sneakers. So I'm trying to buy sneakers, and, my second favorite would probably be New Balance. My first favorite is Brooks, and Brooks is a very old company. It's just not many people have heard of them. They make a top-quality sneaker, and they make them out of leather. Well, New Balance says theirs are leather, too, at least in the model that I wanted to buy. So I went to the New Balance website. Yep, it says leather. I bought them on eBay, that same model, and they came and they arrived as plastic. So I sent an email, or I sent a message to the guy that sold them. I said, these look like plastic. Are they counterfeit? I asked him, are they counterfeit? No. I said, could they be counterfeit? And the guy was frosted with me. And so they're absolutely plastic. There's no question about it. I called New Balance. They said, yeah, we've got counterfeit sneakers out there. And, yeah, that's what's happening. They admitted it's a real problem for them. They said the only way they can make sure that you're going to get a New Balance leather sneaker is if you buy them from New Balance on the Internet or if you buy them from a New Balance store. So, anyway, here's what you do. I bought two pairs of New Balance sneakers, and they're both plastic, and they're supposed to be leather. So here's what you do. You report this as a problem. You want to contact the seller, and you have different choices, like didn't fit, changed my mind, didn't like it. And one of the choices is not as described. So if you say not as described, you automatically win the contest, okay? You're going to get your money back, and they're going to pay for shipping back because they sold something that was described as one thing, and you received it as something else. So I just wanted to let you know that if you're gonna engage in this kind of combat with these people who are deceptive, the fastest, easiest, best click would be not as described. And don't settle for it. Make them eat them. And let's say that doesn't work. Let's say you end up in a war with these guys and you're losing, and you actually lose and you don't get satisfaction. Well, if you've used a credit card, then what you do is you let them know. You say, look, I'll tell you what, I really would like my money back. And that way I won't have to dispute this charge with my credit card company. And what that means to the merchant is if you dispute it, they're going to end up paying you anyway. And they're going to be paying another $35 for the dispute charge because they caused the problem in the first place. So, you know, step one is not as described. If that doesn't work, which it should most certainly work, but you can always say dispute it on your credit card if you used a credit card for your eBay purchase, not PayPal, but a credit card. Kyle, any comments?
That's absolutely right, Vince. And one of the worst things that you can put on any kind of purchase from anybody on eBay that is that they hate to see is they sold something not as described, because people read those comments. I do all the time. I always will read the comments on how good the seller is. And, you know, I don't really care about the 5-star reviews on stuff. I want to see what it is on 1, 2, and 3-star. So that's the reviews that I read.
Yeah, and that's where you should start, class. I totally agree with Kyle because that's what I do. So when I read reviews on any product, whether it be something from a big box store or Amazon or eBay, if I'm doing research about a product, I start with the 1-star reviews because I want to know what kind of catastrophes have happened as a result of buying this particular product. Then I move up to 2 stars, then I move up to 3 stars, and then I read what the morons say, and they say, oh, this thing walks on water. It's the best there ever. This is awesome. And I know the guy's an idiot because it's not awesome. It's just good. So that's kind of how I feel about it. And, I wanted to buy a Snap-on toolbox, Snap-on brand toolbox. And I wanted to buy a used one. These things are like $8,500, $10,000 for a toolbox. Now, bear in mind, class, I'm a mechanic, and I need professional equipment in order to do what I do. Okay? Now, a homeowner is not going to buy an $8,000 toolbox, and neither am I. But you can buy them for about $1,500 used. And so if you go to the internet and you look up Snap-on toolbox, some people say, just buy a Craftsman toolbox. They're great. Not for a professional or not, because if you put 200 pounds of tools in or 100 pounds of tools in the drawers, the Craftsman hinges, the slides will break. They can't take it. So you can't necessarily believe the kinds of things that you read on the internet, because everybody's got an opinion. And lots of times when people have a problem with their car, they say, I've got a problem with my car and it's overheating. And then a response will be, we'll take it to a mechanic. I mean, that's not what you want to read. Kyle, any quick comments?
Folks, make this stuff your own. Use this ideas and make them your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.